The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Defo
and Barbara Yakubu.
In the headlines, Ghana beefs up Ebola surveillance with installation of imaging equipment at Kotoka International Airport to screen passengers. London's Heathrow Airport to begin screening passengers from Ebola hit countries. Ghana Prison Service denies allegations that DCE for Trifuati Mokwa was released at dawn to avoid media hype. And senior Catholic clerics call on church to adopt positive stance on homosexuality. First, a summary with Barbara Yakubu.
A screening equipment has been installed at the Kotoka International Airport as part of measures by government to beef up security to prevent any possible outbreak of Ebola in the country. The screening equipment will be used to check the temperature of travelers. Meanwhile, the Heathrow Airport will start Ebola screening for passengers flying into the UK from at-risk countries. Authorities say passengers deemed to be at high risk due to contact with Ebola patients but who are displaying no symptoms will be contacted daily by public health officials. The Director of Public Relations of the Ghana Prison Service, DSP Vitalis Aye, says it is not true that the DCE for Trifuati Mokwa, Bossman Osei Siamang, who was jailed 14 days by a Cape Coast High Court for contempt of court, was released at Sunday dawn after serving his jail term to prevent the media from publicizing it. He also denied that the DCE was given preferential treatment whilst in custody. And senior clerics taking part in a review of Catholic teachings on the family have called on the church to adopt a more positive stance on homosexuality. Some gay rights groups have hailed it as a breakthrough, but conservative groups have however rejected the report, labeling it as a betrayal.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news now in detail. Two computers with thermal imaging cameras have been installed at the Kotoka International Airport as part of measures by government to beef up surveillance to prevent any possible outbreak of Ebola in the country. The computers are acquired at the cost of $200,000 and installed at the arrival section of the airport will be able to check the temperature of travelers. Any passenger with temperature reading more than 38 degrees Celsius will be isolated for further screening. The Minister of Health, Dr. Kweku Ajimamensah, and the Transport Minister, Mrs. Jifa Ativo, were at the airport to inspect the equipment. They were taken around the facility by the head of Port Health, Russell John Marfo, and the medical director of the airport clinic, Dr. Nana Akubru. Dr. Ajimamensah said the installation of the temperature scan forms part of government's commitment to ensuring that the Ebola virus does not enter the country. He said the Inter-Ministerial Committee on Ebola, set up by President Mahama, is doing everything possible to ensure that Ghana stayed Ebola-free. Aside from the main imaging machines, officials at the Kotoka International Airport also have non-conduct thermometers, which also helps them to check the temperature of people.
Meanwhile, the number of vessels that call at the Tema port has not reduced, despite the Ebola scare that has hit parts of West Africa. The crew on these vessels are thoroughly screened for the disease amidst other preventive measures. The Tema port health superintendent, Albert Arthur Kwanza, so stringent measures have been put in place at the port on the shores of Tema to avert the spread of Ebola should it be detected. He spoke to Patricia Che.
Since the advent of this outbreak of this, we test the front line personnel so that we had the situation very serious at hand. So immediately we arranged for a presentation on the disease at the Berthing meeting. The Berthing meeting is a larger forum where all the port marine stakeholders meet. So we went there to do a presentation to them, for them to be aware of the nature of the disease, how it is transmitted, and how it could be prevented. So from there, we also started developing manuals on the disease. Every day we do vaccination to prospective travelers on yellow fever. So at that clinic, two talks are given on Ebola. We also organized the drivers and their driver mates who travel to Guinea and those in the transitors. We've also gone there to talk to them on Ebola.
Mr. Kwanso said the Tema Port Health has set up a committee for Ebola and trained port health officials on the disease.
to develop some questionnaire to the GPHA signal, of which should be admitted to masters who are coming from the Ebola affected areas. And then on this questionnaire, we ask them if there's anybody sick on board the vessel.
So only for the Ebola affected countries?
Yes, for now, that is what we do. With the other vessels, we take the maritime declaration of health, of which they state all this information. But particularly with those vessels from the affected areas, they are very much concerned. So they administer those questions to them, try to know if there is any likelihood of somebody having the symptoms of the disease on board. And then we also have the health declaration form, which has been advanced to the masters to fill. Each crew member should fill. So that when we go on board, we take those forms and then we record their temperatures on each of the forms for each crew.
You said vessels that reduced.
Vessels have not reduced at all. Because those vessels that are coming from the affected area, particularly Nigeria, they keep on coming. From Guinea and Senegal, we certainly have those vessels calling.
But for other countries that they don't have, and they are afraid that Ghana is closer to those West African countries, are they also calling others?
Oh yes, they are calling. But when they call, they always want assurance from the port health to reassure them. So we always tell them that Ghana has not recorded any case yet.
That was the Tema Port Health Superintendent Albert Arthur Kwanza talking to Patricia Che on measures instituted at the Tema Port against Ebola.
And away from Ghana, Heathrow Airport is to start Ebola screening for passengers flying into the UK from at-risk countries. Authorities say a handful of cases are expected to reach the UK before Christmas. Screening will start at Terminal 1 before being extended to other terminals, Gatwick Airport and Eurostar by the end of the week. People flying from Liberia, Sierra Leone and Guinea will be identified by border officials. Nurses and consultants from the public health sector will then carry out the actual screening. Passengers will have their temperatures taken, complete a risk questionnaire and have contact details recorded. Anyone with suspected Ebola will be taken to hospital. Passengers deemed to be at high risk due to contact with Ebola patients but who are displaying no symptoms will be contacted daily by public health officials.
Still on Ebola, the WHO says the Ebola epidemic is threatening the very survival of societies and could lead to failed states. The outbreak, which has killed about 4,000 people in West Africa, has led to a crisis for international peace and security. WHO head Margaret Chan also warned of the cost of panic spreading faster than the virus. In a speech delivered on her behalf at a conference in the Philippines, Dr. Chan said Ebola is a historic risk. She says she has never seen such a health event threatening the very survival of societies and governments in already very poor countries. Dr. Chan also criticized pharmaceutical firms for not focusing on Ebola, condemning a profit-driven industry that does not invest in products for markets that cannot pay. Away from Ebola, the Director of Public Relations of the Ghana Prison Service, DSP Vitalis Aye, has denied allegations in sections of the media that the DCE for Trifo Atimokwa in the Central Region, Bossman Ose Shiamang, who was jailed 14 days by Cape Coast High Court for contempt of court, was released by the prison's authorities at dawn after serving his jail term to prevent the media from having access to him. In an interview with Radio Ghana, DSP Aye also described as untrue suggestions that a DCE was given preferential treatment whilst in custody. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
I understand the DCE was released after 6 a.m. and 6 a.m. will not be called dawn. It will be morning. In fact, prisoners should be released between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. So if people got there after 6 a.m. and he was gone, and they felt that it was dawn. The facts on the ground indicated that the man was released even after 6 a.m.
Why was he released that early? Though you could argue that you operated within the confines of the law, but then there's been speculations in town that you did that to avoid a situation where the media could quiz the DCE. Is that correct?
No, I don't think that is correct. It's not about the media. It's about our job and about our security. Depending on where you find yourself as a prisoner, it could depend on the distance you are going to travel. It could depend on even your health status. You could go. But the clients are there. The prisoner shouldn't use the prison before and should not go after 9 a.m.
Another allegation making the rounds is that the DCE was given preferential treatment whilst in prison. Why would you do that? Because once he's in custody, he's supposed to go through all the hardship that all other prisoners have to go through in prison.
No prisoner is given preferential treatment in prison. A prisoner is a prisoner. It doesn't matter your status. Once you enter prison, the laws are equal for everybody. So for anybody to say the DC was doing preferential treatment? I don't know.
So can you say on authority that the DC was fed on the 1 CD 80 pesos that is given to every other prisoner in the country's prisons for 3 square meals a day?
On authority, that's what it's supposed to be fed on. There is always advocated and asked relatives of prisoners to come to their aid because the 1 CD 80 pesos is not sufficient. We keep telling the masses this. If you have a relative in prison and you can supplement what government has given, go ahead and do it.
Director of Public Affairs of the Ghana Prison Service, Vitalis Aye, in that interview with Ibrahim Kwati.
An aspirant to the MPP flag bearership race, Na Akufo-Addo, says the NDC government has proven over the last 6 years in office that it cannot deal with the short-term problems confronting the nation. He said until the short-term problems are tackled, Ghana will still remain where it is. Nanado was addressing delegates in the Asawase constituency when he rounded off his tour of the Ashanti region.
The President of the Republic, John Dramani Mahama, told us that the problems we are having today in Ghana are short-term problems. But the medium and long-term prospects of our country are still very bright. Well, Mr. President, what we will say to you is this. If we cannot deal with the short-term problem, it will compromise our medium and long-term future.
Nanado said he will create an enabling environment to ensure that businesses succeed when elected president.
Deputy Minister of Roads and Highways Isaac Ajay-Mensa says the construction of the Nkrumah Circle interchange has become necessary due to the heavy vehicular traffic on a daily basis. This is said leads to stress and reduction in economic activities. Mr. Ajay-Mensa dispelled the notion that the construction of the interchange is as a result of lack of planning. He believes urban areas are fast developing due to rural-urban drift and authorities must act to meet the changing circumstances. Mr. Ajay-Mensa stated this on a current affairs program behind the news.
At the end of it all, the benefit is that it's going to be ensuring that, you know, there's no traffic and massive flow of people. That is burden, and I think that it will facilitate and encourage people to do their business as best as possible. I don't think that bringing down the brakes or raising down the brakes cause financial loss or whatever, because engineers know better. And you see, you want to do this to ensure that the flow of traffic, people coming into the center there, have to manage the money properly. And understanding the professionals come out to them that this is the best way forward. I'm not sure how much, as of now, the cost of the bridge is because it's been used. And like construction of roads, you impact on profit. But at the end of the day, you want to ensure that it's value for money.
Right. Mr. Ajay-Mensa, I agree with you completely on, you know, putting in place a modern edifice. But didn't you anticipate that there will be times that we definitely will have to put in such an edifice? Wasn't there any anticipation from your end?
No, but I'm not talking for engineers. I'm not a professional. I'm not an engineer. Otherwise, Kwame Nkrumah stands, this megastructure would have been placed there. When society changes, when technology unveils and so on, you want to go in for cost-effective ways of doing things. And I think that at the time that bridge was built, that's that purpose. Now it's time, as population of Accra is booming, we want to ensure that provide appropriate resources and services to people to talk about their businesses. And this is the best, you know, way forward. This mega structure is going to ensure that we fall in line with the modern world doing about things and also enhance business and flow of people in that area.
Deputy Minister of Roads and Highways, Isaac Ajay-Mensa.
The Keta Municipal Assembly says it will take advantage of the street naming exercise to speed up development of the area. The Municipal Chief Executive Sylvester Tonyava said in line with this, the Assembly has set up a secretariat, installed equipment for data input, and recruited 100 data collection agents to help to address properties in the municipality. Mr. Tonyava said this when he led newsmen and officials from the Assembly to Keta, Tegbi, Angloga and Strongbe to inspect development projects in the communities and to address challenges facing farmers in the municipality.
Mr. Tonyava said so far Keta, Tegbi and Angloga have named 55 streets and expressed the hope that by the end of next year, all streets and properties in the municipality will be identified and labeled. Mr. Tonyava was optimistic that the completion of the exercise will help the assembly in its revenue mobilization drive and assist in proper planning of development projects in the area. He said in the 2013-2014, with support from the District Assembly's Common Fund, GET Fund, District Development Fund and Urban Development Grants, the assembly initiated 15 development projects which are at various stages of completion. When visited in his farm, a former Municipal Chief Executive for KETA, Edward Kofi Ahiabo, stressed the need for government to take advantage of modern technologies to develop solar, wind and biogas sources of energy to support farmers to reduce the huge amounts they pay for utilities. According to him, he was able to utilize solar, wind and biogas to operate his farm and was able to generate surplus energy for both domestic and commercial use.
And that was the Newsdex report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: Ghana beefs up Ebola surveillance with installation of imaging equipment at Kotoka International Airport to screen passengers. London's Heathrow Airport to begin screening passengers from Ebola-hit countries. Ghana Prison Service denies allegations that DCE for Trifo Atemukwa was released at dawn to avoid media hype. And senior Catholic clerics call on church to adopt positive stance on homosexuality. Please stay tuned.
Welcome back. A retired chief director of the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Valentine Kuzume, has petitioned the Judgment Debt Commission over some unpaid bills running into thousands of Ghana cedis. Mr. Kuzume said he incurred more than 6,000 Ghana cedis as medical bills and more than $1,900 being other expenses to save embarrassing situations during his tenure of office. He reiterated that all necessary procedures have been followed, but the money has not been paid. Mr. Kuzume is therefore praying the commission to intervene. Cynthia Boateng reports.
The Judgment Debt Commission occasionally hears petitions that are not directly related to judgment debt, but if left unresolved, could develop into one. The former chief director from the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Valentine Kuzume, told the commission that after investigations have been conducted by the appropriate institutions, including the audit service, an authorization letter was sent to his former office for the money to be paid, but this has not materialized for over 5 years now. He was quizzed by the sole commissioner, Justice Yao Apu.
I have made several attempts, several requests, persistently since my retirement for a refund of my claims. And the claims that I have against government is in respect of one, the text that were due me, and the second aspect is made up of my own funds, which I had to use certain times to meet expenses of the ministry just to save embarrassing situations. Although the total amount involved comes up to 6,603 Ghana cedis, whereas $1,960. My own funds that I spent to meet government expenses total 1,810 cedis, 70 pesos. But what is the real purpose of you bringing the petition to the commission? Since you know we are not a court. Lord, I didn't go to court to save myself the time, the resources I will spend in addition to time as a resource. Save government the additional expenses settled or in an interest that I would be entitled to in the debt that government has owed me since 2007 up to date.
The commission invited the current chief director at the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, as well as the Accountant General, to speak to the issue, but they both asked for adjournment to the 20th of this month.
Cynthia Boateng reporting.
The case in which former President Jerry John Rawlings is seeking to restrain the former ambassador to the UK, Professor Kweku Dansobuafo, from launching a book on him will be heard tomorrow. The hearing will take place at the Fast Track High Court. Last Thursday, when parties converged on the court premises, they were informed the case had to be reassigned to a new judge. This is because the case went to court during the legal vacation. Since the legal vacation is over, the case ought to be reassigned to a new court. Professor Dansobuafo, the defendant, wanted to launch a book titled J.J. Rawlings and the Democratic Transition in Ghana, which the former president is seeking to have the court place an injunction on. Counsel for former President Rawlings, Samuel Atachia, had at the last hearing prayed the court to allow them time to explore an out-of-court settlement. The book was initially scheduled to be launched on August the 20th, but former President Rawlins put in a protest accusing Professor Dansobuafo of bad faith.
Metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies have been tasked to work hard to improve our internally generated funds to reduce over-dependence on central government. This was contained in a speech read on behalf of the Minister of Finance, Pepe, at the Western Regional Public Launch of the hearings for the district composite budget for 2015 in Tamale, in Takrady. Marie Aziz Tunde has the rest of the story.
The public launch was attended by Metropolitan, Municipal and District Chief Executives as well as a cross-section of the public. The hearing, which focused on the district composite budget, is to ensure that funds follow functions to give meaning to the decentralization policy. It also seeks to establish an effective integrated budgeting system which supports intended goals, expectations and performance of government. In his speech, the Finance Minister said Stepper noted that government recognizes the challenge in the economy and has initiated bold decisions to reverse the situation in the 2014 mid-year review budget. He said government recently issued its third Eurobond of $1 billion, which was largely oversubscribed. Mr. Tepe noted that currently engagements with the IMF for a program are all geared towards reducing the short-term pressures on international reserves and have already positively affected the appreciation of the city. He also called for the rationalization of public sector staff, continuation of policy of net freeze on employment in some sectors of public service and payroll management measures. He also advised MMDAs to exercise strict oversight responsibilities on employees to assist the ministry to read out all ghost names from payrolls and control the wage bill to free resources to improve service delivery. A guest speaker, Reverend Daniel Nyakun, who is director of the Takrady Polytechnic, also called for financial discipline at all sectors and also operate strictly according to budgetary limits given. He urged MMDAs to avoid budgetary overruns, which have become the bane of the country's economy.
Mary Aziz Tunde reporting.
Protesters calling for the release of 219 Nigerian schoolgirls kidnapped by Boko Haram militants are set to mark the six-month anniversary of their abduction with a march to the presidency today. Members of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign are planning to walk to President Goodluck Jonathan's official residence in Abuja to keep up pressure on the government to bring the missing teenagers home. The march is the culmination of a series of activities in the past week, including a candlelight vigil to keep the fate of the girls in the public eye as media coverage and online interest wane. The 276 girls were seized from their dormitories at the government girls' secondary school in the remote town of Chibok in Borno State, northeastern Nigeria, on the night of April 14.
And senior clerics taking part in a review of Catholic teachings on the family have called on the church to adopt a more positive stance on homosexuality. A preliminary report written by bishops during a Vatican synod said homosexuals have gifts and qualities to offer. The report does not challenge the church's long-held opposition to same-sex marriage, but some gay rights groups have hailed it as a breakthrough. Conservative groups have, however, rejected the report, labeling it as a betrayal. More than 200 bishops have been taking part in the synod since the 5th of this month. It was convened by Pope Francis to debate abortion, contraception, homosexuality, and divorce. Human rights group Campaign, a leading U.S. gay rights organization, said the document sets what it calls a dramatic new tone. To end the news, the main points again. Two computers with thermal imaging cameras valued at $200,000 have been installed at the Kotoka International Airport. This forms part of measures by government to beef up security surveillance to prevent any possible outbreak of Ebola in the country. Meanwhile, Heathrow Airport in London will start Ebola screening for passengers flying into the UK from at-risk countries. The news was presented by Barbara.